Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
What I'd like to see today with you inside is the Ramban. If you do share Ramban on our Sugya Shabbos Daf Kufov with regard to Mekalkel, and we're going to start with the word Lefichach, or perhaps you have a different Girsa. I have the word Lefichach here, hopefully in your copies it also says Lefichach. And if anyone needs, I have one extra copy here. We can close the door.
It's Ayin Bay.
And we can get started. It's on Daf Kuvav of an Aleph. And basically, in this paragraph, Lefichach, he summarizes the final conclusion of the Balei HaTosfos with regard to the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And that is with regard to the two malachas that are exceptions to the rule of Kol HaMekalkel and Peturim, namely Chovel uMavir. And first he addresses the technical question, how do we know that there is such a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon regarding Chovel uMavir? And in the name of Tosus he says, Gemara Gmirale, it was either some sort of a tradition that they had. And he quotes a Gemara later on that has a similar parallel kind of structure. Or alternatively, it could be that they had some sort of a brisa, Shema brisa he.
Now we lost over time.
And we don't have that access to that brisa. He gives examples of that as well. In the next paragraph, the Einani Omer came, but the Ramban disagrees. And he's of the opinion that there is a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon regarding Meleches Chovel and Meleches Mavir. And where does he find this? So basically our shall we say objective for today, if we'll accomplish it, is to go through this Ramban. It's quite a long piece in the Ramban, and see if we can piece together from the different paragraphs what the Ramban's view is regarding Chovel uMavir, the machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, and then perhaps to connect this back to our two definitions of Melacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa with Rashi and Tosfos that we discussed yesterday. And he says, "Demila vaday Melacha Tzricha L'Gufa hi." This is very interesting, because if you define Chovel as taking out the dam, then in the case of Mila, what makes Mila into a Melacha Tzricha L'Gufa? Now keep in mind, we know that the Torah in theory prohibits Mila on Shabbos. Again, if it's a Mila Bizmano, the Torah is a special dispensation, a special permission, but otherwise Mila per se would be a Melacha of Chovel on Shabbos. Now, in order to justify that principle that Mila is a Melach on Shabbos, we're going to have to assume, according to Rav Shimon, that it's going to be a Melach at Tzricha L'Gufa. Because again, even if Rav Shimon is Machmir regarding Mekalkel, but he's still Mekil with regard to Melach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, and he says Melach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is Potter, so if Mila is Chayev, it must be because Mila is Tzricha L'Gufa. Now, ostensibly, the Mila is being done for the benefit of the child. And of course, that makes it into Meleches Mekalkel, as we discussed. But as far as the dam is concerned, I wouldn't say that he's running around with the dam. He's not collecting the dam. He doesn't need it to feed his dog or for any other purpose. So the Ramban now has to justify, why is it that Chovel, in the case of Mitzvahs Mila, is a Melacha HaTzricha L'Gufa? And the answer is going to be that we're going to redefine the Melacha of Chovel. And we're going to assume that the Melach of Chovel, according to the Ramban, is on the Nechbal. So the object of the Melacha is the Nechbal. How would you say Nechbal in English? I don't even know how to translate it.
Yeah.
The injured, or call it the victim.
The object.
Okay, the object. So the object is the object and not the dam.
Target.
The target. The target, the victim, the object. All those words are excellent. How are you doing, Harvey?
Okay.
We haven't seen you before the New Year. Very good to see you. Okay. So, Harvey, we have some pages for you if you need them.
Yes.
Right here. Somebody's going to have to show Harvey the place because he missed the opening introduction here. So I would underline the following words: Tzarech she'ehei adam zeh mohu. Now, this is very interesting because normally when you remove something, let's say for example, if I gave the paradigm of ktsira, so you're cutting off the fruit or the grains from the ground, you need the fruit, you need the grains. So I would say that in a classical format or structure of a malacha which requires removing something from an object, then the heft of the malacha, the essential chefetz hamalacha would be the object that you are removing. You're taking something away. You're taking the fruit from the ground, and that would make it into a malacha tzricha legufa. But what happens in a case where you're taking something from the ground and you're not interested in the ground, you're not interested in that object that you're taking, you're interested in the object from which you're taking it. Let's say, for example, in the case of Mila, you're not interested in the arla per se, which you're cutting off. You're interested in the adam ha-mahul, in the baby that's now going to be circumcised. Now, let's assume that in the classical case of meleches chovel, what you're interested in is being chovel the nechbal. The nechbal now becomes the tzricha legufa, the gufa shel malacha. So the Ramban is now claiming that if that's your structure, if that's your paradigm, then Mila fits very beautifully into that paradigm. Because in Mila, the nechbal, who's the nechbal?
The child,
right, the tinokes. The child himself is the object and the purpose of this maisa mila. You want to do the mila on the baby, and your goal is to transform the baby from an RL into a mohul. So if that be the case, this is a malacha tzricha legufa. And now the Ramban is hard-pressed. He wants to come up with some sort of precedent to this breakthrough. Where do we find in the constellation of Melech HaShabbos that you take something away, you're not interested in that which you take away, but you're interested in improving, as we said before, the nechbal, the target, the victim? And the answer is netilas tziparnayim, when you cut your nails. Now, netilas tziparnayim, if you use a kli, that's the normal way you do it, is a tolda of meleches gozes. Gozes is listed in the 39 Avos Melachos. Now, in gozes, I would have suggested, in a classical case of gozes, that you're interested not in the sheep from which you are shearing its wool, but rather in the wool itself. And the Ramban says that's not the case. That's not our definition of meleches gozes. And I'll prove it to you, says the Ramban, because netilas tziparnayim is a told of gozes. Now, in netilas tziparnayim, does he have any interest whatsoever in the tziparnayim?
No.
Obviously not. He only has interest in the etzbos, you know, the fingers. He's improving, he's beautifying the object, let's call it the person or the animal from which he's cutting off the nails. V'chein sfamo, let's say, for example, he trims his mustache. That's also meleches gozes. He's not interested at all in the small piece of hair that he cuts off. Obviously, he's trying to improve the mustache itself. So we see that, if I can use this term, the object of the melacha becomes the chefta shel melacha. It's not the object that you're taking away from the victim, right, from the nechbal or the nigzaz, but rather it is the nigzaz himself or herself that we're interested in. And if that be the case, in the case of Mila, we have a similar case, a similar structure, in which you're not interested in the arla that you're removing, you're interested in improving the baby and giving it a status of what?
Mahul.
Of a mol. He says, in gozes, afal pishein otzarech leguf, hatziparnayim vaseyar. He has no interest in that which he cuts off. Nevertheless, it's considered malacha tzricha legufa nikres. Why is it considered malacha nikres legufa? Apparently, the gufa malacha is the object, the person, the victim from which you take. What Shmuel? What word did you use? You had a good
target.
Word. The target. Okay, the target. just when I think of Target, I think of all the damage control I have to do, because now you could buy everything on Target online, you know, and it became very easy. Anyway, now in the case of Gozes, what would you say? Am I beautifying the sheep? You know, you have these pedigree dogs, so sometimes you, what's it called? You
trim them up.
Yeah, you trim them in a way that certain parts of the animal has hair, certain parts doesn't have hair.
Yeah.
Like the poodles, yeah. In the Ramban's frame of reference, it would seem like the classical case of Gozes would be these poodles, you know, where you're cutting off the hair, you're not interested in the hair. So it's not the case that I gave you of sheep. In the case of sheep, when you shear the wool from the sheep, what are you interested in?
It could be a wool sheep.
Pashas, you're not beautifying the sheep. I don't know if you're selling the sheep as a pedigree on the market. Right now you're interested in selling the wool. And yet the Ramban says that it's still called Tzricha L'Gufa. So I don't know. Maybe Joel will say that there are two categories of Tzricha L'Gufa in Gozes. I don't know.
What about if you're calling it a tolda? It's not the malacha. It's a tolda of the malacha.
Right.
So maybe that's why it's not malacha.
So Joel, what you're saying has some truth to it, but it undermines everything that I know about a tolda. That's why I'm sort of resisting. But you're probably right and I'm probably wrong. But everything I know about a tolda is that the tolda has the same gufa shel malacha, it's just a different tsuras hamalacha. Again, these are all very sophisticated terminologies, but what I really mean to say is that you can shear in different ways. You know, you can use a kind of shearing utensil, and you could use a special knife for you know, for removing nails. You know, different kinds of pu'ulos and different tsuras hamaisim, but ultimately, in terms of the gufa shamalacha, the gufa shamalacha has to be defined by the av malacha. I'll give you an example. Let's take the av malacha of hotzah. In the case of hotzah, the object that's being relocated is the cheftza shel malacha. And my purpose, in order to be tzricha l'gufa, has to be to relocate that object. There are many, many toldos of malachas hotzah. For example, zrika. And then there's a case of moshit. But in all these cases of toldos, what's common is that you want to get the chefetz from one place to the other. Many different tsuros, many different external ways that you can achieve that goal. You can pick it up and carry it. You might be able to put it on your head or on your shoulders. You might be able to throw it. You might be able to stretch it into someone so the person will take it. There are different toldos. But the chefetz shel malacha is always the same. If I take, for example, the case of Zoreah. So the Zriah, the Cheftah Shel Malacha Zriah, is the karka that now is Zaruah, which means it's been planted. Now, there's a told of Malacha Zoreah. When I have the Zerah already inside on a Mashke Zroim, that means I pour the water onto the Zerah. But that too is meant to improve the productivity of the field. So the Cheftah Shel Malacha always remains the same, whether it's a tolda or an av. That's why I'm resisting what you're saying. But again, hold on to it, Joel, because at some point or another we may want to redefine our basic understanding of Ovis and Toldos. Ben?
It's a different av malacha, but when one milks the cow, you need the milk. And also it's preventing sar for the animal to milk it. It's kind of like a two-way thing. I know the Ramban is choosing a different av malacha, but I'm just wondering, there might be cases where it's better than the av.
And are you allowed to milk a cow on Shabbos?
I think that if you're preventing...
I mean, no, forget about Tzav Rav Chaim. I'm just saying,
in
terms of Hilchus...
You spill the milk out.
In Hilchus Malacha Shabbos, are you allowed to milk a cow?
I think you spill the milk out.
Well, then, you're 50 light years ahead of me. You know, I'm just talking... If I would assume that milking is asur on Shabbos, okay? Again, you know, you can do it this way, that way, set it up every Shabbos... A million different considerations. But if you could just cut that all out and just focus on this, is milking a malacha?
Asur, yes. I believe it's
what malacha would it be?
It's dash.
Excellent. I'm very impressed. Yeah. The truth is that that cholev is a told of dash. Now, this generates a whole bunch of problems because malacha's dash only applies to what's called gidule karka. And a behemah is not gidule karka, or is it? But let's assume it's not. If behemah is not a gidule karka, then how could chole be a told of dash? Now, what is dash? That gets even more complicated. And what is the chefs of the malacha of dash? So instead of dash, let's just read the next line in the Ramban. He doesn't talk about dash, but he talks about something very similar to dash. V'chein hazorer v'haborer. Now this is very interesting. In the case of zorer, actually what you do is remove the chaff. But you're not interested in the chaff. So zorer now becomes another prime example where the victim, you know, the object on which you're doing the malacha, the target, as Shmuel calls it, is the chefta shel malacha, and that makes it into tricha legufa. So again, I'm not interested in taking the chaff. I'm not making bran cereal right now. And in the case of borer, what do I remove? Again, borer by definition is always called, anybody remember? Ochel psoles, is it ochel mitoch psoles, psoles mitoch ochel, who remembers? It's always psoles mitoch ochel. Now, when you take psoles out of ochel, clearly what are you going to do with the psoles? You throw it in the rubbish, right? You're not interested in the psoles, you're interested in the ochel. And yet you didn't do any malach on the ochel. So again, the Ramban uses borer as a paradigmic case of a malach where the cheftz of the malach is the target. You want to improve something, you have to remove something in order to improve it. Correct? So let's say, for example, if I'm building a sukkah and I want to make it a beautiful sukkah, and there's something on the walls of the sukkah, on the defanus that's bothering me, so I want to remove that obstruction on my defanus. I'm not doing a malach on the obstruction. I mean, that goes right into the rubbish. I'm trying to improve the sukkah. And so too, if I add water to the karka, what I'm doing is I'm improving the karka. The karka, the ground itself, always becomes the chefta shel malach. And the Ramban wants to say, netilas tziparnayim, as a tolda of gozes, the chefta shel malach is not the tziparnayim that goes right into the rubbish, but rather the body of the target, the object, etc., etc. And then the Ramban, you know, pushes this all up the, you know, up the Chagadiyah, all the way up to Mila. And in the case of Mila, my objective is to improve the child, make the child into a mohel. That makes it into a malacha hatzricha legufa. Yeah.
The Ramban does have in his favor that all of these things were attached when the person started the malacha.
Right. Is that good?
I think
that's good news,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So you have two things that are attached to each other, and you want to separate them. You do the act on the object which is tafel, which you're trying to get rid of, and paradoxically, the malach is defined by the object that was now freed of this obstruction, of this chatzitza, so to speak. Now, Kulon domos lemila. He has another case here. Okay, this is called meleches makev epatish. What's makev epatish? This is a sugya daf.
He finishes something off.
Correct. He removes something like filth or dust from his garment. Glima is a garment, and by doing so, he improves his garment. Actually, he's doing the melacha physically on the ikufe is this obstruction, this dust, or whatever it is he has to remove from his garment, but he's fixing up his garment. And that again becomes another example, a sample of doing a malacha. The maisa malacha is done on object A, but the objective is object B. He removes A from B and improves B. That's called the malacha tzricha legufa. And in that sense, Mila fits into this pattern very beautifully, because in Mila, he removes the Arla, but he's interested in improving the Tinok. V'havara. Oh, now, what about the case of Havara? Now, if you recall, the Gemara Daf Kuvav presents Havara of Bas Koich Zinsa as the source for Rabbi Shimon's conclusion that you're chayav for Mavir, even if it's what? Mekalkel, even if it's Mekalkel. Now, in this sense, we have to analyze Havaras Bas Kohen from the perspective of Melacha Tzricha Legufa. And the Ramban, in order to do so, he has to quote our Gemara on Daf Kuvav, because what our Gemara does on Daf Kuvav is it puts the emphasis not on the burning of the Bas Kohen, which means you open up her mouth and you pour hot molten into it, but the creating of that hot molten lead. Now, how do you create out of lead? How do you reduce it to a, convert it to a liquid?
Bishul.
Correct, you have to turn on the fire. That's called Havara. I wouldn't call Bishul at this point. We'll see later on about Bishul, but now we talk about Havara. Havara means lighting the fire. Now, in the case of lighting the fire, the fire is actually consuming what? The Eitzim. You remember we discussed this at great length. And the Ramban is going to have a problem with that, because if a fire is chay for consuming Eitzim, then every case of Mavir should be Meleches Kilkul. Now that might be okay, according to some Shitas, maybe even Rav Shimon might agree with that. But you're going to still have to say that it's tricha legufa. So if you're telling me that the gufa malach is the eitzim, he doesn't need the eitzim, he needs the fire. What's he going to put on the fire? That's where Ben comes up with Bishul. You know, he's going to cook the lead, or if he has a pot with food in it, he lights the eitzim, and then the fire comes up from the eitzim, and now he puts his pot on the eitzim and he cooks his pot. So here's, if you recall, we had a Ramban, and here's another case where the Ramban reiterates the same concept, the same breakthrough, that the Cheftz of the Malach of Mavir is not what?
Not the
Eitzim as we saw it, but the Eish itself. So that's going to be beautiful here, because he needs the Eish very badly, otherwise he cannot fulfill the requirement of Sreifas Bas Kohen. He's going to need the Eish, and now he can put the lead into the pot and put the pot onto the fire and convert the lead into a liquid. All this is made possible by the Eish. So Mavir, the Malacha, is not being done on the Eitzim, but on the Eish. And you can again ask the same question that always bothers our minds. How can you call the Eish the Cheftish Malacha? Let's look at the Pu'ulas HaMalacha. The act of the Malacha is being done on what? On the Eitzim. But yet, the Malach is, in abstract terms, is defined as, the Cheftzim Malach is defined as the Eish. Even though he doesn't really create the Eish. He really just burns the Eitzim, and the Eitzim create the Eish. But again, this all fits in line, the Ramban is very consistent, that the Malach might be done on one object, physically, so the Maisa Malach is done on object A, but yet Al Pi Din, halachically, the objective and the Cheftish Malach is object B. And in this case, again, he's saying that although he's burning the Eitzim, but he's creating an Eish, and what's he going to do with this Eish? Now that he's created the Eish through Havara, he's going to be Mavashal Bo Psila. Here's Ben's Bishul, right? Harehi Malach HaTzricha L'Gufa. He needs the Eish. Because without the Eish, he doesn't have the possibility of Bishul. Dumya, I'll give you an example, says Rabban, that Madlikes Ha'or L'Schamen Kenegdos. He takes trees, wood, and he burns the trees, and that gives him warmth. But the warmth doesn't come from the trees, it comes from the Eish. And therefore the Eish itself becomes the Cheftzah Shal Malach, and it's a Malach HaTzricha L'Gufa. Or Madlik Ner Mishtamish Lior, if he lights a candle and he needs the light from the candle, once again, the light and the Eish can be, shall I say, merged into one object. That's the object of his Malach, not the Eitzim or the Ner that's going up and, you know, it's getting combusted, if you will. V'lo shamanu Malacha She'etzricha L'Gufa B'Madlik. He says, look through Masechta Shabbos, and talk about Madlik, and you'll never see the Gemara objecting, well, how could it be chayav for Meleches Hadlaka, which is Havara? After all, it's Ainet Tzricha L'Gufa. Right? He's burning this candle. He doesn't need the candle. He needs the Eish. The answer is, because since he needs the Eish, and the Eish is the Cheftzah Shel Meleches Havara, it becomes a Melech HaTzricha L'Gufa. Where do we find Melech HaShenet Tzricha L'Gufa? In Kivui, in extinguishing a fire. Because the malach, the cheftish of malach in extinguishing the fire is the charcoal itself. That's called in the Gemara's language pecham. And he creates pecham by extinguishing the fire, and he uses the pecham for future neros, or for a future campfire. So that charcoal, I don't know. How do you call it in English?
Charcoal.
Yeah, charcoal. This is another word for gecholim, for the coals. Anyway, whatever you want to call it, the charcoal, whatever you'll call it, that itself is the cheftes shavaleches machaba. Now, let's say he's in a room, and there's light in the room that's coming from a fire, and he wants to go to sleep. The light disturbs his sleep. Or, for example, if the light is going, then maybe the listim, you know, maybe the ganovim are going to see, oh, there's light over there. There's somebody lives over there. Let's see if we can rob that house over there. So there are many situations in which he wants to extinguish the fire, not because he's interested in creating pechum, but because he needs darkness. So the heft of melacha, from his perspective, is darkness. It's not the pechum. He has no need for the pechum. But in Mishkan, when they did Meleches Mechab, they did it to create pechum. So the Cheftish of Melacha is pechum, and he doesn't need the pechum. He needs the choshech. That becomes a Melacha Sheinetzricha Legufa. Elavadei Travayu Melacha Tzricha Legufa Ninu. Therefore, we conclude that both Mila, which improves the baby, and burning fire in order to burning wood in order to create a fire in Sreifas Bas Kohen, so you need that fire. That's called, both of these are called Melachas Hatzrichos Legufa. Ella, but don't misunderstand. And this is something that we were racking our brains on. We kept thinking, well, how can you call it a Melachas Hatzrichos Legufa and then turn around and call it a Makalkel? If it's Tzrichos Legufa, then it has a tikkun to it, and therefore it's a Melachas Tikkun and not a Melechas Kilkul. We're talking now about Chovel and Mavra according to Reb Shimon. We're saying that Reb Shimon would still admit that in Mila and Avara Sreifas Bas Kohen we have a Melechat Tzricha Legufa, but it's Mekalkel. So the Rabban is asking, this is very paradoxical, how could you call it Mekalkel if it's a Tzricha Legufa situation? Says the Rabban, El Shatzorech Atzmo Nikra Kilkul Begufa. In other words, we look at the victim, the object, or the target, and that's the Cheftes Shel Melacha, and we ask, is there a tikkun? Now again, he needs to do this action. He needs to prepare the lead and convert it into molten, into a liquid. He needs the mila because the Torah commanded him to do the mila of his son. But let's look at the victim, which is now has been, you know, upgraded to the level of the status of Cheftes Shel Melacha. And now let's ask ourselves, vis-a-vis that Chefta, is there a Kilkul or a Tikkun? So he says the following. He says, Shanimo Nishar Chavul V'chole. So let's underline those words. The Ramban is now activating two principles that we've discussed in the past. Principle number one is what I call a balance sheet. Meaning, let's look at the overall assets and deficits. Right? Isn't that what you pay an accountant for? Right. So we have to do accountancy. We'll call it accountancy. Now, on the one hand, the child is now a nimol. That's a great thing. But on the other hand, the child is a chole v'nechbal. He's ill, and that's the law of a child. After mila, you know, it's pikuach nefesh. For 3 days, you know, he's in a state of pikuach nefesh. He's a nechbal. The child is screaming, he's weak. Right, I mentioned to you before that we don't recite Shechayonu on Mila and Chutz Laretz because of the Tzara, the Yinuka. So the overall picture, as far as the Nechbal is concerned, the target, the victim, is minus. The deficits outweigh the assets. That makes it into a Meleches Kilkul. Now you ask me, What is it, Tzorech, or is it not Litzorech? Well, we just had a whole presentation. We worked very hard to establish that it is Litzorech. Yeah, but that's not Tzorech Atzmo. He differentiates between Tzorech and Tzorech Atzmo. Tzorech is subjective. This is the second principle of the Ramban. That when we can differentiate between two concepts. One concept is Kilkul versus Tikkun, and the other concept is Tzricha Legufa versus Eina Tzricha Legufa. The Ramban sets up a big wall between the two. And he says that if you're talking about Kilkul versus Tikkun, then we look at the Tzorech Atzmo. If you're talking about Tzorech Legufa or Eina Tzorech Legufa, we look at Tzorech Ha'adam. Ha'adam Ha'osa Es HaMalach. So again, as far as the Malacha Atzma is concerned, the Cheftes Shel Melacha, you may come, paradoxically, you may come to the conclusion that despite the need to do this Malacha and the benefits from the Malacha, Nevertheless, as far as the Tzorach Atzmo is concerned, we have a case of Mekalkel. And that's going to be Mila. Because the overall picture when it comes to Mila is that the child is a Nechbal V'cholev. And therefore, the negatives outweigh the positives. That's called Meleches Mekalkel. At the same time, he has a Tzorach. So let's take, for example, the case of Chovel V'Tzorach Dam L'Kalba. According to the Ramban, this fits very beautifully. The Ramban is going to say, on the one hand, that's called a Meleches Kilkul, and on the other hand, it's Tricha L'Gufa. Why? It's a Meleches Kilkul because when I look at the Nechbal, he's a Cholev Nechbal. He's never, you know, limping away over there. You know, he's clutching his arm or his chest where he got smashed. On the other hand, if you look at it from the point of view of the Osa Es HaMalacha, we'll call him the Bala Kelev in this case, his tzorach is for the dam. He's got to remove the dam. If the dam is the Cheftish HaMalacha, he needs the dam. He needs to feed his dog. That makes it into a Tzricha L'Gufa. Don't confuse yourself, says Rabban, and say that therefore it's so facto it's a Malacha's Tikud, because if it's a Malacha, because vis-a-vis the tzorach Atzmo, meaning the Nechbal, we have here a Malacha's Kilk. So that's going to be Reb Shimon's Shita, that we need A that even though A, it's a Meleches Kilkul in the case of Chovel, he's going to be Chayev if we have B, and B means a Melecha Tzricha Legufa. And this is going to be the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, and he derives it from Mila, because Mila is both a Meleches Kilkul vis-a-vis the Nechbal, and yet the Torah prohibits that Chavola, despite the fact that it's a Malacha Tzricha L'Gufa, so far as he needs to be metakin to improve the child and make the child into a mole. Now how this is going to work in Havara, that's already the next piece in the Ramban, that's already a lot more complicated. So I just want to sift out that which I do understand from that which, one second, I don't understand. So what I do understand is Meleches Chovel, and it fits very beautifully. The question is how far Reb Shimon went. That I don't know. Did Reb Shimon go as far as to say that Yechayev for Chovel even in a Kilkul Gomur, which is whose Shita in Reb Shimon? Rabbi Avo, you remember Rabbi Avo, a good buddy Rabbi Avo? Or did Rabbi Shimon require at least a Tikkun Ktsas, which is going to be the Shita of whom?
Tos.
Rabbi Yochanan. All according to Tos is what I'm saying. Yeah.
So just what?
Go ahead.
The Ramban's importance of it being sort of chmitzvah, because the paradigm is Brit Milah, but the other cases are not chmitzvah. It's just
Yes, I don't know if the Ramban is operating with Tzorach Mitzvah, maybe we'll see that as we go along, or he's operating with the Tikkun Gavra, if you remember Rashi's interpretation on Daf Kufav, because now the child is a Mohul, and as a Mohul, he could enter into the Beis HaMikdash and eat from Kodshim and Karban Pesach. That I don't know. Yeah?
So what's the din of today when we do Bismillah on Shabbos? How's it?
That's only Mila Bismana, because the Torah went out of its way to say that if the child was born on Shabbos and then you count 8 days, and now it's Mila Bismana, the next Shabbos, you're allowed to be Docha Shabbos. Now, when he's Docha Shabbos, again, this is just a quiz question to see if you've been following the Shiurim. When he's Docha Shabbos, is he doing a Maisa Malacha or he's not doing a Malacha at all? Who remembers? We had a Piskei Riaz, if you remember that.
He's not doing the Maisa Malacha.
Oh, so the Piskei Riaz wants to say that it's a Maisa Malacha, the Torah allows you to do it, but it's still a Malacha. Okay. Now we get to Sreifas Bas Kohen. This is a little bit more complicated. He says, Va'avar shel Bas Kohen, Kevon she'ein bo hana li'odom mimena, eina ela kimekalkel bi'etzen. Very ambiguous language of the Ramban. Let's read it one more time. Va'avor shel bas kohen, kevon she'ein bo hana li'odom mimena, eina ela mekalkel bi'etzim. What does he mean over here?
The angels.
And I think, Ben, this will answer your question as to whether which camp the Ramban belongs to on the question of mitzvah, whether mitzvah is called a tikkun or not a tikkun. Let's see if you can guess what I mean over here. We're going to finally, from this next line of the Ramban, I think we'll be able to commit the Ramban to one position or the other. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag you'll tell me which camp he belongs to. So what does the Ramban mean when he says Ein hanoli adam imena?
He doesn't benefit in any way from
what?
The Maaser.
Okay, but again, you have the Eitzim, and he's burning the Eitzim. What is he going to use the fire for? He puts a pot on the fire. What's inside the pot?
Lead.
The lead. And now the lead becomes molten. Why does the Ramban say, Ein lo hanoa mimena?
Well, he doesn't benefit from this melacha.
Okay, so what are we comparing? When, you know, there's the before and there's the after. You know that now they show you when they have these elective surgeries, where the cosmetic surgeries. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
You know, what I think it's called. How's it called? Botox? Am I pronouncing it right? Yeah, did I pronounce that right? You know, yeah. You pay dermatologists like a velt of money, you know, to do this. So they show you a picture before and a picture after. And now they cut out your stomachs already. They're up to that stage. So they show you a picture what you look like before they cut out your stomach and after you cut out your stomach. So let's look at the picture before and the picture after. What did I have before I cooked my lead?
Solid lead.
Solid lead. Now after I cook my lead, I have
molten lead.
Which is better? What do I benefit from better, the solid lead or the molten lead?
The molten lead.
Oh, so you and I would have said, well, he needs the molten lead in order to burn for the mitzvah straight for Spas Kohen, but the Ramban is refusing to accept that. The Ramban says that he really has no personal benefit from the molten lead. I mean, again, he's obligated to create this molten lead because the Torah requires him to do so within the perspective of Sreifas Bas Kohen, but you know, he's not doing anything constructive with the molten lead. You know, if you have molten lead...
He doesn't want the molten lead.
Right. What would be a case, Joel, if you could help me rack my brains? I couldn't come up with a case where you need molten lead for something constructive.
Solder.
What's it called? Solder?
Solder.
Okay, to solder something? Okay, I have no clue what you're talking about, but as long as you know what you mean, that's good enough for me. So we're soldering, so we need molten lead for soldering. Did I pronounce it right?
Soldering.
Solgering?
Yeah.
But you're going to have to write that down for me, Harvey. That's already, you know, when we study for the college boards, that word was not on the list. So, you know, that's beyond the extent of my knowledge.
Two pieces of metal. It's like the glue to join two pieces of metal.
And how do you pronounce it?
Solgering.
Solgering. Okay, solgering. Can you write it down for me? Because I'll need it, you know, as soon as I become a... Who's that? A carpenter? Not a carpenter. A solderer.
I'm not sure if I got this right. Did the Ramban just do something slightly contradictory? Because he was, I thought there'd be an overarching principle where he was redefining the target, the malacha you're doing.
Correct. The malacha is on burning the fire.
Right.
I'm sorry. Start again. The malacha is on burning the Eitzim.
Right.
And the target is the fire. And he needs the fire, correct? Now, what does he need the fire for? Again, you create a fire, and now you're cooking the lead on the fire. So the Rabbah wants to say that if you cook food that's raw and cannot be eaten raw, you know, you got potatoes. I don't know, maybe you could eat raw potatoes, I guess, in the Shoah, I'm sure they did. They would probably die for a raw potato. But we don't eat raw potatoes. Baruch Hashem, because we have so much shefa. Who has to eat raw potatoes, right? So you need to cook the raw potatoes. Now you can eat the potatoes. So that's called a meleches tigel. But says the Ramban, if you're taking lead and you're cooking lead and converting it into molten, then what benefit do you have from molten lead? Again, the Torah may require you to do so. It's part of the process of Sreifas Bas Kohen. But you can't say that this is a meleches tigel. In other words, if the lead was worth more on the market in its natural state of being solid than it is now, except if I'm doing
so good.
Who wrote this?
I did.
What's the fourth letter here? Is that a D?
L.
No, the third letter is an L.
Where's the
soldering?
Oh, that's a D?
Yes.
Okay. In America, we make a D a little different. Okay, fine.
You don't even draw the letters the same way?
Everything's different. Look, there was a rebellion, right? And ever since there was a revolution. Ever since the Boston Tea Party, we couldn't get anything right. You know, that's
isn't this molten lead tea party. More? I mean, that's what the guy wanted to get done, though.
Again, he definitely wants to, you know, he wants to be kind of the midst of a strange response coming, but when you itemize or focus your attention on the malacha per se, which is the bishul of the lead of the oferes, which was generated or facilitated by the Aish, right, the Aish. So the Aish is being used for something destructive. And that makes it into a makalk. Again, you and I would have said something totally different. We would have said, look, the Torah requires of him, there's no other way he can achieve his goal and fulfill the requirement of the Torah and fulfill the mitzvah of Sreifas Maskoyin unless he converts the lead into molten. So that's creative. But no, he's not willing to go that far. He wants to look at the lead itself. Forget about the mitzvah that you're doing with the lead, or through the lead, the molten, and so forth. So look at the lead. That's called a maleches kilkul. That's not like taking potatoes and cooking potatoes on a fire. So if I burn a fire, and then I put my pot on the fire, and I put my raw potatoes in the fire, that's called maleches tikkun. It's also malacha tzricha legufa, even though I don't need the eitzim, but I need the eish, and that is the cheftes shel maleches mavir. Here, I need the eish, but I need it for something that is makalkil. Awesome. Let's read it again in the Ramban, just 1 second. Kevan she'ein hana, or the two gear souls here, ein ba hana li odom mimena. Is therefore Eina Elikim Makalkil the Eitzin. Now here the Ramban pulls a fast one. And he says that if you want to look at the Kilkel element here, don't just focus on the molten lead. You know, you took lead and you reduced it to a liquid. But let's look at the overall picture. What else has gone up in smoke? Or has gone down in its value, so to speak? The Eitzin. The Eitzim. So the Ramban wants to say that if we look at this Moleches Havara in its totality, we have two different elements of Kilkel here. And the Ramban seems to be, you know, his agenda seems to be to combine these two principles, A plus, these two Kilkulim, A Kilkel and B Kilkel. A Kilkel is in the fact that now your lead is molten. And you have no constructive use for molten lead. Maybe the Ramban is not so happy with that because of our claim, well, he needs the molten lead to fulfill the mitzvah of Sreifas Maskoyin. So the Ramban now goes backwards. Instead of going forwards and asking, well, what's he going to do with this cooking? And he's converting into molten, and that might lead him to think that molten is now a tikkun rather than a kilkul. The Ramban looks over his shoulders backwards, and he says, well, in order to get this eish, what did you have to do? You had to destroy the Eitzim. That makes it into Moleches Kilkel. But that can't be pshat in the Ramban. Because if that be pshat in the Ramban, then every single case of Mavir would be by definition Kilkel. And I don't know that we're saying that every Mavir is Kilkel. For example, if I burn a fire and then I cook my potatoes on that fire, I wouldn't call it a Moleches Kilkel. Despite the fact that the Eitzim are going up in smoke. So it's a little bit problematic when the Ramban adds these words. Again, I'll read it to you again in the Ramban. The Ramban says, Eino elokim akalkil eitzim. So here I would add a question mark here. You know, what does the, you know, if I had an asterisk here, I would write on the bottom, what does the Ramban mean here? Mekalkel Eitzim. We never say that Mavir is considered a Moleches Kilkel because he's destroying the Eitzim. So that's a little bit odd that the Ramban mentions Eitzim here. And then he writes, Elisha Adam. Now again, he has another Girsa problem. He says, Elisha Adam. Tzorech lezu amalacha gufa mikol makom. In other words, even though, despite the fact that it's a kilkul, he still needs the malacha, and therefore it becomes a malacha tzricha legufa. Again, the Ramban's agenda here is to have a mavir, which is on the one hand kilkul, but on the other hand, at the same time, it is a malacha tzricha legufa. And the Ramban thinks that when he lights the fire on the Eitzim, and on this fire he cooks the molten lead, that's going to be a case of malacha tzricha legufa. He needs the fire. And yet, at the same time, it's considered a maleches kilkul, either because he's reducing the value, depreciating the value of the lead, or because of the Eitzim that go up in smoke. But then let's look at the next line in the Ramban. The Ramban says, V'yesh ba tikkun. And here he's already getting into the machlokas between Rabbi Avo and Rabbi Yochanan about how to understand Rabbi Shimon. You may recall that Rabbi Yochanan says that there's something called a tikkun ktsas, and therefore Rabbi Shimon did not go as far as to say that Yechayev for Meleches Chovel in a pure absolute kilkul, only in the case where there's a kilkul b'miktsas and a tikkun b'miktsas. That was Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Rabbi Avo, on the other hand, postulated that according to Rabbi Shimon, even in a case of kilkul gamur, you would still be chayev. So the Ramban seems to now want to defend Rabbi Avo, and he says the following. He says, v'yesh bar tikkun. Now there's got to be some tikkun here, because otherwise it's not a malacha tzricha legufa. So in some sense, anyone in that position, in that situation, with that need, would have implemented that malacha. So in objective terms, we could say it's tzricha legufa. Now, once you're already admitting that it's tzricha legufa, why not now upgrade it to a meleches tikkun? And then you haven't achieved your goal here. Again, our goal is to set up havara as kilkul, and at the same time, tzricha legufa. We said it's tzricha legufa because he needs the fire in order to cook the lead on top of the fire. We said it's kilkul because he's ruining the eitzim, maybe ruining the lead. But now we have a problem. Why? Because if he has this tzorech, and all of what he's doing is within the framework, it's like a, almost like a, not a train, what's it called, an assembly line, I meant to say. You know, remember those automated assembly lines, right? So it's like an assembly line where he takes the eitzim and he burns the eitzim. Then he has a fire. Then he takes a pot and he puts it on the fire. And then he takes lead and he puts it in the pot. And then he gets molten lead and he pours it down the throat of the Bas Kohen. I mean, it's a whole assembly line here. So the Ramban says that within the perspective of this entire assembly line, we have a tzorech. He definitely has a need here. And the only way he can achieve his need is by taking these eitzim and burning them and creating a fire. So we have here Malachas Havar L'Tzorech Gufa. And it's tzricha legufa. But the Ramban says if we've gone this far, maybe we've gone too far, and we forfeited our first requirement, namely to establish, according to Rav Shimon, that Havaras Bas Kohen is a kilkul. Maybe it's not a kilkul. If within the context, the broader framework of this assembly line, you know, you start with the Eitzim, and you burn the Eitzim, and you end up with the mitzvah of Sreifas Bas Kohen, and there's a definite objective purpose here, which is justified, and anyone who has this case of Bas Kohen has to go through this chain, this train, this assembly line, then why not call it a meleches kilkul? I'm sorry, why don't we call it a meleches kilkul? Why not call it a meleches tikkun? Says the Ramban, v'yesh ba tikkun. I have to admit that there is a justification, there is a purpose, this is not just destructive, but nevertheless, eino migufa shel melacha. And here we have to underline those words in the Ramban. The Ramban wants to suggest that there are two dimensions to a malacha, two purposes to every malacha. There's what he calls the gufa shel malacha, and then what he calls the enami gufa shel malacha. And the Ramban says that paradoxically, as far as fulfilling the requirement of tzricha legufa, it doesn't have to be migufa shel malacha. Do you hear the paradox? You know, it's like almost saying A equals not A. The Ramban on the one end is saying that something which is eino migufa shel malacha, but it is a tzorech, and it's valid and it's objective, and anyone in that situation would want to get that malacha, would want to have that malacha, that's enough to make it into a malacha tzricha legufa. However, that's not enough to make it into a meleches tikkun. Why? Because in meleches tikkun, you can't talk about a tzorech that's not migufa shel malacha. You need a tzorech that's in the gufa shel malacha. So we go back to the gufa shel malacha over here.
Rabbi, what about the tikkun, the spiritual tikkun of Am Yisrael, where you're burning the Sreifas?
Right, we mentioned that today with the Rashba. Again, I don't know if the Ramban is aware of this Rashba. The Ramban is operating with the overall purpose here of going through this step-by-step chain in order to achieve the mitzvah of Sreifas Bas Kohen, but he says that this overall purpose makes it into a malacha tzricha legufa, but it still doesn't deny, it doesn't undermine the statement or the classification of this malacha as a maleches kilkul. Because in maleches kilkul, or, well, let's say it the other way around, if you want to convert a kilkul into a tikkun, it's not enough to talk about something that's generic, that's general, that's a purpose, that's a goal. That's already ain't a migufa shel malacha. In order to make it into a maleches tikkun, I need it to be migufa shel malacha. Meaning I have to look at the physical reality or the situation before and after, as we said before. You know, we'll take a picture of the lead before he burnt the lead and converted to molten. We'll take a picture after, and now we see it's gone down in value. That's the gufa shel malacha. The malacha now is being done in the lead, and it goes down, it depreciates in value, then it's called the maleches kilkul. The Rambam also suggests that maybe burning the eitzim might kick in here and contribute to this becoming a maleches kilkul. Ah, you'll ask me, but it's still a malacha tzricha legufa. He needs it because he has to fulfill the mitzvah, the requirement of sreifas bas kohen. So Ramban is willing to validate a kiyum mitzvah as what? Not as a tikkun, but as a tzricha legufa. In other words, if I want to know whether my tzorech is valid despite the fact that I'm destroying something, and why would anybody want to destroy something and then call it a tzricha legufa, he needs a malacha? So the answer is, for that I can use a tikkun mitzvah. A tikkun mitzvah will serve the purpose and fulfill the requirement of a malacha tzricha legufa, making it into an objective tzorech. Do I need this malacha? Do I gain something and benefit from the malacha? The answer is yes. Why? Because the Torah requires me to gain this malacha. But if you're asking me, is it a malacha's kilkul or not? Now I have to answer by looking at the object to which the malacha is being done. Like, for example, we spoke about the case of Mila, where the child becomes a nechbal v'chole. And in that case, it becomes a malacha's kilkul. Does he have a purpose? Is it tzricha? For sure it's tzricha. The child is going to become a mole, and the father is going to fulfill his mitzvah milah. That's a valid objective. You know, we can validate that tzorech. But when we talk about kilkul, then we look at the nechbal himself, the child himself, and the nechbal is a kilkul, is a chol. Here too, we look at the nisraf, and again, I don't know what the nisraf is, because the Rabban seems to be, you know, Poseach al Shtei Sifim here. He's riding two horses. I don't know if the Nisraf is the lead or the... No, it's either the lead or the wood. Right. He doesn't talk about the Maskoi now, because that's going to happen much later on. We're in the early stages here when we talk about Malecha Savora. David?
So, according to that reasoning, the Ramban wouldn't need the Torah to say directly that you can do Mila on Shabbat.
Well, the reason why we need the Torah to teach us that you can do meal on Shabbat is because Rav Shimon holds that despite the fact that the meal is a maleches kilkul, but chovil is chayev even on mekalkil, which means that the normal principle called maleches machsheves was suspended with regard to chovil. So therefore, mila, even if I grant you that as far as the nechbal who's a chol is concerned, we have a maleches kilkul, but you're still going to be chayev. But one condition has to be met. That's Rav Shimon's requirement of malacha tzricha legufa. And the answer is, since I need the mila, and why do I need the mila? Either because the child now is in a better position than he was before, or because I, as the father, fulfill my chova of mila, that itself is a valid tzorech that upgrades this chavola to the status of a malacha tzricha legufa. Let's see if we can go on. I know the clock is moving.
Nidachat, is that the same idea?
Well, maybe afterwards we'll talk about Ira Nidachas. I just want to see what I can get before I get to Ira Nidachas. Hilkach, l'Rabbi Shimon, kol malacha shein etzricha legufa, lo machmas gufa. In other words, the tzorech legufa, if it's not in the gufa malacha, right, v'lo machmas tikkun, and if it's not a tikkun in the guf hamalacha, so on the one hand, if you're talking about chovil mavir, where the Torah says that you don't need a tikkun, If you're talking about other malachas, you need a tikkun. But either way, whether you're talking about Chovel Mavir, you're talking about the balance of the 37 malachas, whether you need a kilkul or you don't need a kilkul, one thing you certainly do need, and that's what? A malacha tzricha legufa. And if it's ainah tzricha legufa, then he doesn't need the guf ha-malacha. Again, we'll always have to define the cheftz of the malacha. Then you potter. Vahainu, notel kotzo, v'chovel v'atzmo. Now this is interesting. If he takes out a thorn and blood comes out, that's called chovel v'atzmo, that's going to be a malacha shein etzricha legufa. Why is that? Because the cheftz of the malacha is the Nechbal, in this case himself, right? He's victimizing himself, and he becomes weaker as a result of the loss of blood. Not only that, it's also Mekalkil Gomor. Now, the fact that it's Mekalkil Gomor, well, that might be a machlokas between Rabbi Avo and Rabbi Yochanan. So that's a secondary thought of the Ramban. But leaving out the issue of Mekalkil Gomor, because maybe Rav Shimon would say Yechayv Mekalkil Gomor, since he doesn't need the dam for anything, on the contrary, the dam weakens the person, that's called a Meleches, a Melechesh and a Tzricha Legufa.
Rabbi, but back then, Hakazah was considered strengthening a person, so it was considered...
Only if you have high blood pressure, but for a normal person, taking out his blood is not healthy. So in this case, he has a thorn in his finger. Trust me, the blood that's going to come out from his finger is not beneficial for him. You know, it's not going to reduce any high blood pressure. So therefore becomes a malacha shein etzricha legufa. He's not in the least bit interested in taking out the dam. Ad rabbi, he'd like the dam to stay in it. Well, Rabbo said, what other case do we have where he very much wanted the dam to remain inside the living being? He loves him. And that was another classical case of malacha shein etzricha legufa. So even though he's removing the dam of the chilos, somebody wants the dam to stay in, and even though Reb Shimon says that makalka mechabur is chayev, he's potter in that case because of malacha shein etzricha legufa, and therefore Reb Shimon would allow you to remove the thorn even if inadvertently you're going to remove the blood. Uvishumachi boy Rabbi Shimon chovel v'tzorech lekalbo or mavir v'tzorech leafro. Interesting. Now at this point, the Ramban is raising a very interesting question. We had a machlokes, if you recall, between Rabbi Avo and Rabbi Yochanan about Rabbi Shimon whether he requires l'tzorech kalbo or not. Well, says the Ramban, for sure he's going to require tzorech kalbo. Nobody can deny that. Albeit not under the question of kilkul, but under a different question, namely what? Because even if I'll tell you that if he doesn't need the dam lekalbo, it's a meleches kilkul gomor, and Rabbi Avo says that even in a meleches kilkul gomor, Reb Shimon holds in chovel yachayev, but that's only if it's a melecha hatzricha legufa. If he doesn't need the dam for anything, the dam goes into the rubbish, that makes it into a melecha she'eino tzricha legufa. And therefore, it must be a case of chovel v'tzarech lekalbo. Now, this works out very beautifully according to Rabbi Yochanan, but what is Rabbi Avo going to say about this? How could Rabbi Avo speak about a kilkul gomor and at the same time fulfill the requirement of tzricha legufa? Lo mishum deboy shum tikkun. Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Shimon doesn't require any tikkun whatsoever. So why do we say that he's only chayv for chavol if he needs it for his kelev? The answer is in order to upgrade it to a malacha hatzricha legufa. V'hachi karmalei Rabbi Yochanan. This is what Rabbi Yochanan was arguing against Rabbi Avo. Chovel umavir eino mishnah. You can't tell me that chutz mi chovel umavir means that in chovel umavir you can be chayv for kilkul gomor because it's going to become a malacha shein etzricha legufa. If you're going to salvage the validity of this price, so you're gonna have to talk about a scenario of tzricha legufa, and that's called chovel v'tzorech lekalbo umavir v'tzorech liafro. So at this point, by the way, Rabbi Avo is in deep trouble. We don't have an explanation, a justification for Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Avo says that in Mekalkel Gomer Yechayev, which means even if he doesn't need the dam litzorek kalbo, he doesn't need the havar litzorek afro. And the question is, what about Malach Hashem and Tzricha Legufa? What are we going to do with that? V'im Tomar Even if I need the dam for the kelev, it still remains a malacha shenitzricha legufa. Why? Because as far as the victim is concerned, the target, as we said, he would like to hold on to his dam. He's not so magnanimous that he wants to feed your dog. So in that sense, it's ain't a tzricha legufa. He's taking out the dam in this Chovil case, but he doesn't need the Chavol itself. He just needs the dam. If he go to a dam store, he would get enough dam to feed his kelev. If he went to the offer store, he'd have enough offer. So in both cases, they're identically a malach shen and tzricha legufa. So what did Rabbi Yochanan gain by salvaging this mission in the case of tzricha lekalvo? Lo titev, you're making a big mistake, says the Ramban. Shachavola bekan, what's the chefza malach of Chovil? Hadam atzmo. Not the nechbal, but the dam.
Which is what he said, parallels to the Kiddush Ramban about the eitzim.
Eish vis-a-vis the eitzim. Shoot sorachlo, and he needs the dam. What's the chefza of the malach of Ravosa in the case of Chofer Guma? Come on, everybody should know the answer to this question. What's the chefza malacha in Mishkan in Chofer Guma?
You compelled him.
Is the Guma itself, the ground itself. And he has no need for the ground. But in the case of Dam, of Chovil, the chefza malacha is what? Is the Dam, and he needs the Dam. That makes it into Tzricha Legufa. Ukvar Dimisi Zeh, Legozeh Zvenotel Saro Tzuparov. I've already given you the secret with the paradigmic case of Gozeh, where he needs not the object, the nails, etc., that he's removing, but rather he wants to beautify the, we'll call it the nechbal, the nigzas. And here too, in the case of chafira, if he wants to beautify or improve the karka for planting purposes, then he's chayav. In the case of dam, he actually improves his situation by taking out the dam because he desperately needs the dam. The bain Litakem gufo liapos atzmo bein litzorach haser vagiza kula malacha tzrich legufa. Oh wow! Here, Joel, the Ramban is saying what you would be very happy for him to say, and he says that there are two tzorachs in malachas gozes. Wow, this is exciting. See, when we get to Malachas Gozeis and Mitzvah Shem, you gentlemen are going to have to remind me. I'm being mashbir you a shvur doraisa, without the kitas chayfet, but to remind me of this line in the Ramban. This revolutionizes our understanding of Malachas Gozeis, and I wonder if this doesn't have repercussions throughout all 39 Malachas, because the Ramban is willing to validate two cheftas with regard to Malachas Gozeis, and either Chefta will validate the Malach as a Malach, will activate the Malach as a Malach. What are the two Cheftas? Either Litaken Gufo, right? Either it's because he wants to beautify the poodle, right? Again, we're looking for a word for that, prune the poodle, whatever the word should be.
Preen
the poodle, wait a minute.
Yeah.
No, David's going to write this down for me.
I'm not very good at spelling, but I know a lot of words.
Okay. So write it in French if you can. Okay. So either he's improving the poodle, or in the case of sheep, what does he need?
He just needs the wool.
And that's called Tzorach Seir Magiza. So it's unbelievable. You can have two different possibilities in Malachas Gozeis according to the Rabban of Tzricha Legufa. You can have Tzricha Legufa because he's improving the Nechbal, the target, you know, the poodle, as we said before, or, you know, he's beautifying the fingers by removing these long nails from the fingers, or alternatively, he needs the shearings from the back of the sheep. That's called Kula Malacha Tzricha Legufa Neisha Kol Dover Echad. I don't know what he means by Hakol Dover Echad. I mean, we said it was two different things.
Hakol Dover Echad or Kin Echad?
Hakol Dover Echad. He says everything is one. I don't know why he means that everything is one. I mean, there's the heft of the sheep and there's the heft of the shearings. Those are two different objects. I don't know why he calls them a kol echad. But at least it's a kol echad as far as being machayavim, b'toras gufa. And I would wonder if this could be accepted according to Tosis that we worked on yesterday, that Tosis says we always go back to the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, I have no doubt that when they sheared the sheep, they needed the wool. They weren't beautifying sheep. In the Mishkan, there was no mitzvah of beautifying animals. You know, there was no animal contests, right? And they didn't read Berenstein's Bears or any of those books, right? Vanatila hi atzma hamalacha. Now I see there's a base here.
Where is it?
On the bottom, he has a footnote here, number base. Okay, that footnote I'm going to leave for you guys because that has to be studied. It seems that the Ramban is saying that in Meleches Gozes, what you're doing is you're separating two objects that are attached, and the Malacha is the separation itself. So it doesn't matter whether I improve this object or that object, but just the separation is the Malacha. Once the Torah defines the Malacha as Netila, which means to take off the shearings, then you can go in one of two directions. Either by removing the shearings, I improve the victim, the animal, or by taking off the shearings, I have the shearings, and I have the chafetz that I need. In either way, because the malacha is the netila. Again, this is very profound, this Ramban. And I wonder what repercussions it has. See, I would add one word to the Ramban. In other words, in the case of Binyan, it's the structure itself, or the ground in the case of Harisha. That's the Chefetz Shal Malacha. He doesn't have any need for the ground. He's not building any buildings. He's not planting any plant, any seeds. Therefore, it's a Malacha Shein Tzvich L'Gufa. V'chein Havara. Havara Li Efer Tzarech L'Gufa. Now this already is interesting because the Ramban now at this point identifies the Efer with the Esh, which I intuitively would have said not like that. You know, my knee-jerk response would have been is the Esh itself as a gas that goes up, and then there's the Efer that results from the burning of the wood. The Ramban seems to assume that we can integrate, you know, two objects into one, and that's the Esh and the Efer. And therefore, if he needs the Efer, that makes it as if he needs the Esh, and that makes it into a Malacha HaTzricha L'Guf. So we got up to Haggadah Shel Pesach here. You look at the next line and you'll see what I mean. Yeah,
according to the Rambam, the Efer is a Tolada of the Esh, which is a Pesach. That's
the Zigui. What are we talking about? Which Tolada? I didn't catch you.
Efer is a Tolada of the Esh.
You don't mean Tolada in the sense of Avos and Tolos.
No, no. That's what the Ramban here is.
The Ramban is saying is that the Efer, insofar as it's a product of the burning of the wood by the Esh, it makes it into a Malacha Tzricha L'Gufa. I would have said that the Efer is something that's a byproduct. It's not that's not the exact Gufa Shel Malacha. Or alternatively, I would have said that the Eitzim turn into Efer. But I don't know, that's hard to say in the Ramban's favor. It's because the Ramban holds the Chefetz of Malacha as far as the Esh, not the Eitzim.
But he makes a spelling amendment here.
Right.
He gets a difference.
Either Lagufo or Lagufo.
Or Gufo.
So you want to say a shir on that? You want to say a shtickle Torah on that?
No. Oh, okay. Really.
I was hoping Harvey would come up with something. I don't know. That's, to me, they're both the same. Okay, so Vakan HaBenshol. That's where we're holding today. And Belineto, I want to continue with this tomorrow because I see that hafokhba vafokhba, you know, the more you learn this Ramban, the more you come up with gems and insights. And this language of Akana ben Shoel is from the Mishnah at the end of Pesachim for Leil Pesach. And that's after the what they call the Matbilin. You remember that we dip things. So, and then it says in the Mishnah, now that we've done this Matbilin, which is very strange that we do two tibulim before a meal. We never do that. Kana ben shol manishtana halalaz. Okay, Rabosai, so we'll stop here. Yeah, Ben?
I mean, I know I've said this before, and maybe it's more appropriate.
Simultaneity?
I think it's more appropriate to describe the Ramban, the Kiddush is like the flame and the Efer are happening simultaneously.
Simultaneity, yeah. So where is that Ramban? You know,
Kiddush Ramban.
Can you show it to me? Maybe we'll go back to it. I remember he gives the example from Shemitah.
Yeah.
But it's not in this particular paragraph, is it?
And I just think that the Kiddush is simultaneous.
You have it in your package, yes. Maybe. So do me a favor. Let's take a break now. You know, we'll go into Karusa learning, and then we'll try to analyze that other Ramban and see if we can stel to the two.